Thank you for choosing to listen to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. For more resources and information on our church or our team, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.
Hope Rock Church, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. It's just so great that we can be in this venue and we can celebrate. And for all the mommies that are at home, we love you and we celebrate you too. And on Mother's Day, it's actual fact that it's a hard day for some people. And so I just want to take a moment just to acknowledge those people that will find today hard. It's obviously not something we always like to talk about, but let's talk about it. Let's just be real and let's say that we are sorry that Mother's Day is hard for you. And yeah, we hope that you will feel the comfort of Jesus with you today. As you have to go through this day. And Psalm 34:19 says that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And I have a friend, her name is Carly, and I work with her. And she has been sharing her story with me over the last 2 weeks. And I just thought it's a beautiful story because it's inspirational. And it just shows you how, even though it can be hard, Jesus, he is able to comfort us in and through that and to show us that there is a greater purpose. So she sent this to me. It came up on her Facebook post. So it said, 4 years ago tonight, May 8th, I kissed these sweet Alex toes goodnight and trusted that all these machines and all of these medicines and all these prayers would work. I prayed extra hard as I nursed Liam in our tiny guest room at the Dell Children's Ronald Hospital House that night. So Alex is a twin. He has a brother, Liam. I prayed for God to heal our sweet Alex, for our little family of four to be reunited and live the life we envisioned from the moment we saw two heartbeats on the sonogram, for God to just make it all better. I remember praying these exact words, make it all better. I slept so great that night, so did Liam. I woke up to Liam's hungry cries just as the sun was coming up on May 9th. I was excited to get to Alex, to hear how his night was, to see that the ECMO had worked. And God did make it all better. He just needed Alex in heaven in order to do so. So, I just think that's so beautiful that she said God did make it all better. He just needed Alex in heaven. And during that time, God kept encouraging Matt, her husband, and her with this verse from Isaiah 55, verse 8, which says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. And she did ask God to please show her what the purpose of Alex's 19 days on earth were. And over time, it was revealed to her that his life, those 19 days, had impacted a young lady who was not walking with Jesus. And she came to walk with Jesus because of these 19 days that Alex lived here on earth. And she landed up getting involved with a human trafficking charity or thing where they go into China and they go and rescue ladies and children out of that. So that for her was just amazing to know that her son in 19 days had an impact on millions of lives. So I feel that is a great testimony of her just trusting in the Lord, even when we don't understand. And she also said that it's Romans 8:18 says, for I consider that the suffering on this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Okay, so ladies, if you're hurting today, I mean, there's even men that are going to be hurting today. So we just are thinking of you, we're praying for you, and we love you, and God's going to get you through this. Okay. So the topic of my prayer is the power of a praying mother. And I know there's a book that's written by Stormy O. Martin with that title, but I wasn't really thinking of that book when I decided to say that. But so what made me think of the power of a praying mother? So it's my mom, my own mom. When I thought about her, I thought, so what is the one thing about, so there's my mom and Marco's mom. So those are my two moms. So my mom was a praying mother, and that's what I remember about her. And what is so powerful about her being a praying mother is that our circumstances in life when we were growing up were not easy. So my mom was a lover of Jesus, and she got married to my stepdad, and that turned out to be a bit of a nightmare for all of us. But my mother was just so faithful in loving Jesus and praying. And specifically when she had to send my sister and I to live with my gran, because the circumstances were just not ideal for us to be there, you know, she had to really just trust God to watch over her girls, because she was going to not be seeing us every day and be able to see what was going on. So she was diligent in praying for us, because she knew that in prayer, you know, when she was praying for us, there was no distance. You know, she was right there with us. And so I said to Mom, I asked her, so what did you pray for during those years when, you know, I was a teenager and I was separated from her? And she said, well, she just stood on Proverbs 22, verse 6, that you train up your child in the way that he should go and he will not depart from it. And Acts 16, 31, that says, you and your household and your whole household will be saved. She prayed that God's hand would be upon me and watch over me. And she prayed that God would protect me from, yeah. And let me tell you, in those years, I needed a lot of protection, because I was just drinking and drugging and, you know, a broken person in my heart. And so I was just looking for ways to fill that void and that pain in my life, and put myself into very dangerous situations. But let me tell you, God was there. He answered my mom's prayers and he watched over me. So those situations that I put myself into could have been a lot worse, but he was there and he was watching out for me. So I thank my mom for praying for me. And anyway, I landed up going back to her in 99. She worked in a rehab, and that's where I met Marco. So what a great mother to endure all those years just praying and trusting God that he's going to make a way. And he did. I mean, if she wasn't in that rehab, I wouldn't have met Marco. So, I mean, it's incredible. And my sister met her husband there too. So God really honored the prayers of my mother. So it doesn't matter what the situation looks like, how hopeless it looks, you can take your children before the Lord. And he is so faithful to watch over them. So I just want to go through a couple of points just so that we can discuss what prayer is and how do we pray for our children. And although I'm talking about a praying mother and praying for your children, this can be applied to any situation in life. So prayer is defined as having a conversation with our Heavenly Father. It's a dialogue. So I've learned that without prayer, my relationship with God cannot grow and it cannot flourish. So let me just get my journal out here. I just want to read something. Wouldn't you know that my tag came out? This is terrible. Sorry. Just give me a second. I know we're recording. Hi. Okay, well, maybe I should just let it go. Oh, here we go. I have learned, okay, so this I wrote on the 16th of February, 2008. I have learned that my relationship with you, Lord, requires effort. But it's an effort I am willing to apply to draw closer to you and to know you on a deep and personal level, to be able to discern the leading and prompting of your Holy Spirit and hear your still small voice, that no longer will Scripture be only head knowledge, but that I will have strong convictions, understanding them with my heart and spirit and not just my human mind. So with prayer, that's how our relationship with the Lord grows. And I was quite an immature Christian back then. And I really know that it's through prayer that God just continues to challenge me and grow me. So why should we pray? You know, the enemy loves to come and put doubts in our minds about why should you pray? God knows everything. Or do you think God really hears you? So this is the reason we pray. We pray because we have an enemy. So 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." And then why else do we pray? Well, in Luke 5:16, it tells us that Jesus would withdraw to desolate places to pray. So when I look at the life of Jesus, I see that he prayed to the Father. But Jesus was fully God and fully human, and he needed to pray. So then that makes me think, how much more do we need to pray? And also, when we pray, we are changed. That's where we all get a change in our lives. And also, if there is a change that you want to see happen in your children, you need to take it to God in prayer. Because you can say things until you're blue in the face. Unless God stirs their hearts, they're not going to change. And trust me, you take it to God and you leave it to him. And in his time, he will change their hearts. There's this quote by Tory, who I don't really know who he is, but it came from a book that I read, but I liked it. It said, "There are few converted in this world in any other way than in connection with someone's prayer." So we need to pray for our children so that they can come into faith, saving faith in Jesus. And we also pray because the journey of life and parenthood is filled with ups and downs. And coming to the Father in prayer brings a rest and a peace to us when those times are just overwhelming. It says that Satan hates it when we pray. He hates prayer offered up to the Father from our hearts. Someone wrote, "Satan laughs at our words and he mocks at our toil, but he trembles when we pray." So, what should I pray? What should you pray for your children? Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and hidden things that you have not known." Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you." So what should I pray for my children? Go before the Lord and ask him, because he knows every detail of their lives and their futures. And he will reveal to you what to pray for them. I ask God to reveal the gifts that he's given my children, and that he will help me and give me wisdom in stirring up those gifts in them, helping to prepare them for the calls that God has on their lives. I pray that they would have a revelation of Jesus at a young age. I think most of us pray that. And so those are some of the things that I pray for. And also remember that in praying for your child, if you've got more than one as well, that every child is unique. We are all unique. And the definition of unique is that it's been one of a kind, unlike anything else. So we really do need to seek the Lord for our children in their individual characters and how to pray for them. Some are compliant, some are strong-willed. old. Some are 5 and think that they're 35. So, yeah. An effective way to pray for your children is also to use God's word, because God is faithful to his word, and God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So when you go to the Bible and you pray his word, you can know that he's faithful to do what he has promised. Hebrews 4:12 says that it's not written out here, sorry. See, I wrote like so many notes in preparing for this, guys, okay? I wanted to make sure that I brought you a well-prepared. And God said, just be myself, okay? So all my papers are everywhere. Okay, so Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Okay, so we can come confidently before the Lord. And why do we pray the word of God? Because the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of the spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. So we pray God's word to bring conviction to our children. And then there's also times when, or most times, that we need to persevere in prayer, because we pray in all this prayer, we pray in God's words, and sometimes we say we're praying, but we don't see anything happening. There's no fruit. You know, is God even listening? And yes, he is, because Jesus tells us in Luke 18:1 that Jesus encouraged us to always pray and not lose heart. So when you're feeling like it's long, you know, we as human beings do not like to wait. And God knows that we don't like to wait. Psalm 27:14, it's not that we don't like to wait. It's very difficult for us to wait and be patient. So Psalm 27:14 says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Because even when we don't see tangible evidence that change is happening, God is at work, just like the song. Even when I can see that you're working. Yes. Okay? I love that. I sing it all the time. He never stops working. And there were many people in the Bible that had to wait. Remember Noah and Moses and Abraham, Joseph, David, Daniel, and Hannah. They all had to wait, and their lives ended up testifying to God's faithfulness. And that gives us great comfort that God is always at work and he always has a testimony in mind. And just want to share this with you. Stephen Sechrist is a deacon in our church. Mary and Stephen and their beautiful boys. And those boys are holding their grand's prayer journal. So isn't it just so beautiful? So grannies, your prayers matter too. This is what Stephen shares about his mom's prayer journal. So prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. Oswald Chambers. And the verse, Proverbs 22:6, train up your child, is also what his mom stood on. And this is what Stephen said. I took this from his devotion that he did online, if you want to go and watch it. It says, the fruit of this training could go on for generations. Without even knowing it, Stephen says that his mom had been pouring into my children too. So Stephen's mom passed away before meeting her grandchildren. And Stephen desires to be that type of example to his children. Not the vanity of legacy, he says, but leaving something behind for the future generations. So there's two generations separated, but there's a common thread of his mom's love for Christ flowing in their family and pouring down into his children through Stephen and Mary, whom his mother trained up every single day when she was alive. And when Stephen was married to Mary, she showed into Mary's life too. And this is the prayer journal that they have the gift of reading and seeing the prayers that she prayed. And these prayers are still being answered today, and they'll be answered for generations to come. And I think I'm going to end it there because I've probably spoken my time. And I thought it would be great if we had a mom and a daughter come up and we can hear from them what praying has looked like in their lives. So Leah and Barbara.
Hi, Hope Rock families. Here at Hope Rock Kids Ministry, we are here to serve you. Even though we cannot have children's programs on Sundays, we are still here for you and your child. Hope Rock Kids Ministry provides worship experiences for you and your family to do at home. Along with these worship at home experiences, we are providing a new devotional every week. We're challenging the youth of our church to memorize a new scripture each week and then to watch the devotional that goes along with it. To get started with these resources, check out our webpage on hoperockchurch.com. Click on the Hope Rock Kids Resources page, and there you will find devotionals, worship at home experiences, and parent guides to help your child's faith grow. Thank you, and know that we are praying for you.
Okay, so Leah and Bob, can you please introduce yourselves?
Sure, I'll start. Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Leah Wardle. My family is not here, so it kind of feels like a vacation a little bit. Love you guys. I'm married to Steve, and together we are deacons here at Hope Rock. We've been with this church for about 5 years, and we have three kids. They are all boys, and their ages are 3, 5, and 7. So we're quite busy, quite tired, but I will say, actually, I came downstairs this morning, dressed, and not in yoga pants. And my 3-year-old son said, "Oh, mommy, you look like a princess." So I'm very blessed to have my boys.
Hi, I'm Barbara Byers, Leah's mom. I have 4 children, 3 girls, and then my son is the youngest. The 3 girls are all married. I have 11 grandchildren so far, 3 of whom are her sons. I am a licensed professional counselor in private practice. I'm from Grapevine, Texas. I also blog, www.barbarabyers.com, if you want to look. And I write and I speak and do conferences and things. So I'm just really glad to be here.
Thank you. So, Leah, let's start with you. So how do you pray for your kids and what do you pray about?
Okay, so I pray a lot of different things, different prayers in different seasons. But there are 2 prayers that I pray kind of on a consistent basis. The first one is for all of my boys, and I pray, God, draw them near to you and make them mighty men of God. I want my boys to just fall in love with Jesus. You know, I want them to have a passion for Christ. I want them to feel like they have a deep personal relationship with him. And I want them to be dangerous for his kingdom. You know, I want them to be strong men of the faith and to be able to stand up for what's right and to be able to stand up for what is godly. So I pray that consistently. The second prayer I pray on a consistent basis is for total restoration of healthy brain function. So that one's a little stranger, so I'll explain that. Like I said, we have 3 boys, 3, 5, and 7, and our middle boy, Ben, who's 5, he is on the autism spectrum. And when he was first diagnosed, shortly before he was 3, the prayers I prayed at that point were just very desperate prayers. It was, God, don't let this be true, take this away, fix this, you know, make this be some sort of mistake. You know, they've misdiagnosed him. And the more I got to know the autism community and meet autistic adults and autistic children and, you know, fabulous therapists, I realized, you know, there's a lot of good there. And it's not an illness. It's not a disease. And then I'm watching this kid, you know, who's amazing. I mean, the way his brain works is really, really cool. And so I got a little bit confused. And there are plenty of people who say, you know, you shouldn't try to fix an autistic person. That's just the way they are. They just have a different brain. But then on the other hand, I could see a lot of ways that Ben was struggling. And if he had stayed on the trajectory that he was on, I think he would have a hard time making friends, maybe getting a job, getting married. And so I knew there was something to pray for, but I was very confused about what it was. And so I kind of stopped praying for his healing and started praying, God, please show me what to pray. Just tell me what I'm supposed to pray for this wonderful, really cool guy. And he just dropped it in my mind one night. I remember I was by Ben's bed, and he said, total restoration of healthy brain function. And I'm not even sure what that means, you know. It's kind of an awkward phrase, but I am praying that every day for Ben. I am believing that every day for Ben, and I think it's going to be part of his testimony. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that God put that on my heart to pray.
Thank you, Leah. That's amazing. So, Bob and Leah, how has God answered your prayers over the years? Can you give us some specific examples? Maybe Bob, because you've been praying for many years.
I love the way she says Bob. Barb. Yeah. You know, I was thinking Leah was pregnant with her first son, Jack, and they lived in Nairobi, Kenya. So it was a little bit hard on this mama. And I was in Georgetown near here with my oldest daughter for the weekend and her family. And Leah had been sort of, you know, in and out of, am I in labor? Am I not? Am I in labor? And I woke up about 2 a.m. and I knew immediately to start praying. And I just felt a very strong, what we might call unction from the Holy Spirit, like, okay, something's not all right, pray. And I think that intuitive heart that God develops in us is so that we can receive from the Holy Spirit those downloads. And so I started praying. I knew something was amiss. And my phone rang about 2:20 in the morning. And I looked and it was Steve calling from Kenya. And he said, hey, wow, I'm glad you're up, and we just wanted to ask you to pray. We're kind of thinking, if y'all know Steve, you know, he's pretty. We're just thinking, you know, we might go to the hospital, and I just said, go, and go right now, Steve. Go now. You know, because I just knew. Now, listen, I don't direct my children and my son-in-laws, but I knew from the Lord. And they went, and the cord was wrapped around his neck, and so, you know, there was intervention needed, and Jack's fine. Jack is very himself. And so that's, you know, that's an example. I also prayed for my children that they would find godly mates, and the girls are all married to good men. Finances were pretty thin in the early years, and I wanted them all to be able to go to college if they wanted to, and yet I couldn't save up for that like you would. And all three of the girls got college volleyball scholarships, full scholarships. And I just wanted to say something you said earlier. I think prayer takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of perseverance. We endure in prayer, sometimes literally for years. But God is faithful. And, you know, we can either have it now in our hand, or we have it in our heart so that later we'll see it in our hand. And so there are things I'm still praying for my son, you know, that I'm waiting and watching. He's almost 30, for the Lord to, when the Lord moves in a certain way, for him to come to his destiny.
You talked about your mom being a praying mother. I always knew that my mom, you know, prayed for us. And you know, when you're 14 and like everything your parents do is super embarrassing, it just popped into my mind this time that I woke up when I was 14. I kind of woke up, you know, maybe an hour after I'd gone to bed, and my mom was in my room praying over me, you know, and I was like, oh, this is so embarrassing. Like, who am I embarrassed in front of? No one, but now I'm so grateful to have had to still have a praying mother, and she prays for her grandkids. And my husband Steve, he has a praying mother who also had a praying mother, and you know, it's an awesome legacy. But you asked about how God has answered prayer, and I'll say just two quick things, both about Ben, because he's given me the most opportunity for God to show himself faithful to our family. So Ben, about a year after he was diagnosed, I was in a pretty low place. I realized, okay, he's definitely autistic. This isn't going away. This is not a fluke. And this is something that we are living with and will continue to live with. And I felt a huge responsibility. I felt the weight of his future on my shoulders, which I think a lot of special needs moms, you know, have that feeling. And the way I deal with stress and anxiety is I research and I read and I try to find out everything there is to know. So that's what I was doing with autism. And I could have done that, you know, for 20 years and not known everything there was to know about autism and the different interventions that you can try. And I really got to a low place, just feeling so burdened by, you know, thinking, oh my gosh, there's so much here. What's right for Ben? And I committed to prayer and fasting for 40 days. And about halfway into that, and the whole time I was just praying, God, show me what will work for him. I wasn't praying for healing. I wasn't praying for anything else. Just point me to the thing or the things that I'm supposed to do for him, because the rest of it I can't handle. Like, I can't do it all. And God was so faithful. I mean, he, like, about halfway in, he showed me this thing that we were supposed to be doing for Ben. It's a dietary protocol of all things. And by golly, we started that. And like within 2 weeks of starting this dietary protocol, he was making noticeable progress. And now it's been almost 2 years on it, and he's like a different child. And I just praise God for that, because I see the healing that's happening. And like I said, I could have studied for you know, 20 years and never found it. Like, God found that for me. I have no doubt. And then the second way he's answered prayer for me is by bringing people into our life that love Ben. You know, it's, as a special needs mom, you think you're going to have to fight for your kid, advocate for them, go mama bear, make sure people, you know, respect him, make sure people know what he's capable of. And I haven't had to do that not a single time, not with a single teacher, not with a single person in this church. Like, the preschool teachers in this church have been so amazing. These things double as... Little did you know, your face mask has a double use. But God has been so faithful, and I think it's going to be part of Ben's testimony to say there are dozens, if not hundreds, of people that have been part of my life that have been supporting me. And some of my mom's friends who I don't even know, you know, pray for Ben.
That's beautiful. Thank you. So can you leave us with one piece of practical advice for praying for your family?
Oh, I would say, the first and most essential is practicing the presence of the Lord yourself. Just inviting him in the morning. Fill my home with your presence. Fill my soul with your presence. Speak to me. I'm listening. And it's... we neglect that listening piece of prayer sometimes. You know, we come sometimes desperately to the Lord about our children and other things, but a lot of times we don't stop and listen. And, you know, when she stopped and listened, he started connecting the dots for her. And so I think it's important to listen sort of dual level. One is you listen to your children. I remember she was just starting ninth grade. Emily was just starting seventh grade. We just remodeled our home, and they both came to me within a couple of weeks and said, Mom, we don't want to be at this little Christian school anymore. We want to go to public school. Well, you know, my first reaction was, no, I want you in, you know, Christian school, number one. Number two, to get to a good public school, we'd have to move. But I listened, and instead of reacting, and then I went and listened to the Lord. And within a month, I don't know, it was all so quick. We found a home, we'd moved, we got them in public school, which turned out to be a really good thing for them. And then my prayers changed somewhat. But we listen to our kids. We try to see them as they are. And then we listen to the Holy Spirit, because He has an answer to everything. He is so big and He is so detailed. And so I would just say, listen to the Holy Spirit. Depend on Him. Trust Him. Wait on Him.
That's so good.
That's a story I didn't know. I would say pray with other parents. You know, get people that you trust that are committed to praying for your kids, and you pray for their kids. I think it really moves the Father's heart when we pray for each other's kids.
Yes. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing, ladies. That was really beautiful. Bob was talking about praying for her son, a persevering prayer. How many years have you been praying, Bob?
Well, he'll be 30 in July. He'll be 30 in July. So I've been praying for a long time that he, as a child, he knew the Lord and he would sense the Holy Spirit moving. But at about 14, some tragedy came and his heart was really broken. And by 16 or 17, he had moved away from the Lord. So, yeah, 13 years.
So a friend sent me a message on Monday, and she said to me that she just shared something that came up on Facebook. And it was about her dad getting saved last year, May. And she prayed for him for 20 years. 20 years she persevered in prayer, just praying every day, trusting for her father's healing. At one stage, he also, a few years ago, was battling cancer. And God healed him physically of that and healed him spiritually. And now he is saved and in love with Jesus. That's 20 years of praying. So we know that God will work in His time. His timing is just so beautiful and so perfect. And as I was preparing for this Sunday and on prayer, I just went through a week where it was really difficult. I felt so challenged in my spirit about praying, and it was like the enemy was just attacking me and bringing all these doubts, and I was like, but I believe in the power of prayer. I believe it. And then I felt God drop that in my heart, because there's somebody that's listening that just feels like prayer is not an option for them, or you just don't believe that it can work in your situation. And I just feel like the Father's encouraging you, that He sees you and He hears you. He sees your heart. Just call out to Him and He will answer you. So He sees you. So let's close in prayer.
Thank you for listening to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. We are a church that is passionate about knowing Christ and making Him known in our city, the nation, and the ends of the earth. For more information on who we are, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.